Listen, come on in. I'm going to ask Arkansas just because I'm from Arkansas, if you'll indulge me. Will y'all move like right here? I'm going to get everybody right here. I'm a toucher feeler, and I need you close to me. Welcome while they're doing that, everybody who is here virtually. We're glad you're here. Hopefully there's some South Africa people on there watching us, and East Africa. Soon we will be together again. Thank you so much. Well, some of y'all can stay here. Yeah. Y'all are super obedient. Thank you, thank you. Awesome. I appreciate it so much. If you'll indulge me today. Cammy had a blanket on last night and I had a fan, so. Might have something to do with my age. But we'll just let you figure that one out from there. It is always, always, always an honor to me. I'm going to pull this back just a little bit. It is always an honor to me to share the word, first and foremost because I take that as a sacred trust from my pastors, but more importantly, I take it as a sacred trust from the Lord. Amen. The Bible has all kinds of things to say. Now, I'm not on caffeine. I haven't had any coffee yet, which is probably to your detriment because when I have coffee, it kind of brings me down just a little bit. So I'm going to need you to engage with me today. I know the Arkansas people know that I am an interactive speaker, right? I'm an educator, so I draw my lines in the room. Nobody gets outside my lines, if anybody in education here. And I'm paying attention to every people, all the people in the room. I'm even paying attention to the people back at the boutique back there. Can we give a hand to our priceless boutique people that are just back there serving? Paying attention to all of that. So, because, you know, every story matters. If I were a person that didn't understand that I have something to offer that is unique to every person in this room, then my fingerprint, there's no other fingerprint like mine, I would be so intimidated to speak after that last night, right? What an awesome job she did last night. Can we appreciate Cammy touching God, hearing from the Lord? But because I know who I am, because I know that I have something that offers she can't offer, then face me. We're just going to keep building on this situation. We're going to keep going with God, what God's doing. So I have the pleasure of working with Angela Fox at a business she has called Learning RX. And about three or four years ago, we were doing interviews to hire new trainers. And we always ask them this question, tell us a couple interesting things about yourself. And usually they'll say, I like to sew, or you know, or I have a hobby. I like photography and all these different things. And on one particular occasion, a girl paused and she thought about it and she said, okay, well, fish tanks, ferrets, and Harry Potter. And Angela and I made eyes at each other kind of like only like friends can do, right? Like, this is going to be fun. Well, that's just like ready go for me because I'm like, all right, I want to hear this story. Of course, I was a little, you know, I was rebuking Harry Potter, but I wanted to hear that story. So she begins to tell us that those are the three things she loves and goes on and on and on. But in her mind, all of those worlds fit into a category, right? So I tell that story because I've changed my title. I apologize if you came for Don't Let the Next Rob You from the Now. It's actually going to be the same message. It's just going to have a different title. So if you want to write my title down, I worked really hard on this title, so I need you to appreciate it. Had to think long and hard. Because, you know, if you give the wrong title, then people don't. They don't want to hear it. That was funny. Y'all should pay attention. Here it is. Lessons on the Next from a Servant Girl, a Cousin Guardian, a Father-in-Law, and a Donkey. Do I have you? All right. We're going to start. You want me to say it again? Lessons on the Next from a Servant Girl, a Cousin Guardian, a Father-in-Law, and a Donkey. What do a servant girl, a cousin guardian, a father-in-law, and a donkey all have in common? That should be the question you're asking yourself. Let's go to 2 Kings 5:1-3. How many know the story of Naaman? Anybody, if I say the name Naaman? What was Naaman's problem? I'm a teacher. What was Naaman's problem? Leprosy. And what did the prophet tell him to do? Wash in the river. He didn't want to wash in the Jordan River, if you read the story, because that was beneath him. Everybody knows the story. I'm going to tell you about a part of the story that we probably missed. I'm going to tell you about the servant girl. See, because we all see the upfront, we all see the loud and the proud. We all see those Facebook posts where they're just really causing a stir. You know, if I were to list some names on either side of the argument right now, you would know all of those names, right? Because they're loud and they're proud. But behind every single leader is a servant. Somebody who's making them a success. Behind every single movement, there are workers. If Anna had to run this all by herself, she would like kill someone probably. We call her the executioner. Because when Anna says it, we do it. Right? Because she's led of the Spirit. So in 2 Kings 5, 1 through 3, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Won't God give us something that'll keep us from being too proud? Every time. This is the interesting part. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel. So her start's not so great. We can't even comprehend our city being invaded and our stuff and our people being taken. But this is the way that they would, often they would go and they would take young women or young men and then they would sell them. It's all about money. Money, 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 money. It's not much different today. I get under the Holy Spirit. I just want to say things and I kick them out. Y'all do that? I can't say that. Let me just say, if an organization says this is what they're for, but they have multiple millions of dollars that are not going to that cause, they're just about money. They went out and took captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. See, we think, or we hear the story of Naaman, and we say, oh yeah, Naaman, he was cured of leprosy. He dipped in the water. But if I were to ask you before I just read that to you, why did he do that? How many think they could tell me why he did that? My three teachers in the room, my Bible studiers in the room, right? Lesson from a servant girl. Here's lesson number one from the servant girl. And I'm be strong, not long, because I want to do a little ministry if the Holy Spirit allows us to. I'm best, Pastor Pam says I'm best when I get off my notes, but I'm actually best when I can pray for you and prophesy over you. Because I just love the Holy Spirit. I love to be a conduit of him because I know what he can do for us. I know there's women sitting in this room right now that you have been here since Thursday night and said, I guess I'm not going to get anything from the Lord. All these amazing speakers, and you're listening to people and you're saying, how come I didn't hear that? How come they got touched and I didn't get touched? All of those things. But God, see, today was your moment. And we're going to see the timing of these things as we go through. Here's the lesson. When God positions you in a place to learn to be faithful in the little, I'm going to wait because I know you're writing. When God positions you in a place to learn to be faithful in the little, don't despise where you are, but keep your focus on why God has you there. Need it again? Yep. When God positions you in a place to learn to be faithful in the little, don't despise where you are, but keep your focus on why God has you there. You know how easy it would have been for that servant girl? Well, I was raided and just to have an attitude. Why in the world would she help Naaman? It was his people that raided her village and brought her to the palace to serve his wife. But see, she understood if God has me here, then it's for a reason. If God is allowing it to happen, then it's for a reason. I keep getting out front and I keep remembering they told me to not get out front. That's like caging a tiger, right? That's why we have to turn the live stream off sometimes, right? No, I want you guys to stay. God's got something for you. Why do I have to clean toilets? Why do I have to serve in the nursery? Why do I have to be the one that picks up everybody's trash off the chairs at the end of prizes because everybody is so drunk in the spirit they walk out and leave a mess? I mean, not here, at other conferences. Different conferences in other states. Why do I have to be the one to be nice to this cash register person when they have been rude to everybody that's come through? It's quiet. You know why it's quiet. Why for 10 years have I been behind this camera? Now, when we started, it was the best thing going. God called us, and we love cameras, we love babies, we love toilets, we love we love all those things. Scraping gum off, well, we don't love toilets, but scraping gum up the floor, right? But now it's like, well, I only thought I was going to have to do that for a little bit until God promoted me. See, if you're cleaning a toilet to get a promotion, you're cleaning the toilet for the wrong reason. You might as well just stop cleaning the toilet because you're going to be there forever. The reason we clean the toilet is because it's our house and nobody's going to go to the bathroom on a dirty toilet in my house because I value people and I want people to have a blessed experience. I don't want them to spend their whole trip home saying, oh, well, the conference was great, but the toilets, man, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was in a gas station toilet. The reason we have nursery, stand up, Amity, our beloved nursery administrator. How many have problems getting nursery workers in your churches? Pastor's got both arms up, right? Because people don't have a vision that the reason we watch the babies is so that we can, one, minister Jesus to them, two, so that their parents can come into the church and hear the word of God and be ministered to. But we are so selfish. Oh, gosh, we need to get under the Holy Spirit. Well, we are so selfish, though, that I need to be in there and I need to be hearing what God has to say. I don't have time to go watch babies. If the Ballingers had said, we don't have time to mess with a 12-year-old, I wouldn't be here right now. If Jim Rowan, none of you will ever know Jim Rowan's name, and I'm going to tag you, Jim Rowan, and I'm going to say thank you. If Jim Rowan hadn't come every week and picked me up from my house and taken me to church, sometimes when there wasn't even anything going on for him. Now, let me explain this to you. We didn't live 2 minutes from the church. We were 30 minutes one way from the church. No one will ever know his name except his kids. Me and two other girls, he was faithful to bring us to church every week. The cool part is when I got older and can drive, his children needed rides. And so I said, absolutely. See, we can't despise where we are. He could have said, I am not going to mess with this ADHD, talks my ear off the whole time girl, and take her to church. But every kid in Africa that I touch, every kid in Colombia, every kid in Panama, every kid in Jubilee Christian Academy that I touch is accredited to Jim Rowan. But we despise those things. We look at the story of Naaman and say, man, the prophet is amazing. I want to be a prophet. Where are the servant girls? Oh, I'm going to get in your business. Why not? It's a Saturday. You can't go to the beach because it's raining. I wrote down in here, at least you weren't abducted and forced to serve in the nursery. The nursery's coming alive over there. At least you weren't abducted and taken to a whole other state and serving another church's nursery. At least you weren't abducted and taken to a whole other country to serve in their bathrooms where it's just a hole in the ground. You got to dig in and scoop it out. And See, we can, oh, it's all a matter of perspective. I can either be in the bathroom. You know, Christine Kane started in a bathroom. Dave Wagner started in a bathroom. I can just start listening to you where some of the leaders that God uses amazingly across the earth started in a bathroom. You know what our female leaders, our favorite thing to do? We have a work day before practice starts. You know what our favorite thing to do is? Clean the bathroom. Well, we're just trying to show everybody we're spiritual. No. We want people to know there is nothing beneath what, there's nothing we wouldn't do to reach people for the gospel. I feel like T.D. Jakes. I need a little hanky. One of the best, sure, one of the best, I love you. Don't you love Bethany Sprouse? We're just family here. It's so unladylike to perspire. No, it's not passion, it's 56. I wish it was passion. How many can identify? Y'all didn't know I was, you thought I was 35, didn't you? That's because 56 is the new 35. One of the best stories to illustrate this, and then I'm going to move on to the cousin guardian. One of the best stories to illustrate this is I used to work at summer camp in Arkansas, Brook Hill Ranch. Some of y'all familiar, Brook Hill Ranch. All my stories are Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Florida, so we got it all covered here. Have a couple Texas stories. And I'm probably just messing up the sound horribly with that, right? I don't care. I mean, I do care a little, Craig. And at camp, there's like 26 different events or activities that counselors can work at. There's cool stuff like fun swim. Doesn't that sound good? I want to be a fun swim. Sienna's been to camp. There's a, what they call the lake boat rides, what they call the big lake. They call it big lake where you get to do jet skis and this massive big old mountain you can climb and jump off of. And they have all these really cool things. And it gets, yeah, Kimmy said last night that Oklahoma summer is not like Florida summer. And I disagree with her on one point. It's just as hot in Oklahoma as it is in Florida. It's hot. And on a hot Arkansas day, the place you want to be is Fun Swim or Big Lake. They have crafts, they have music. All those are inside in shade and have fans. Those aren't too bad. Let me tell you the place you don't want to be. Go-karts. Because you got those hot motors, they break down all the time, and you are sitting in the dead-on sun. There are no, and I don't know if you've grown up since then, have trees have grown over since then, since I was there 14 years ago, but there is dead-on sun. This is nothing compared to what you'd be feeling if you were in Arkansas, right? And so they were having a real issue one year. Steve Sexton, David Pate were the camp directors at that point. And they're having a real issue where they couldn't get any counselors to sign up for go-karts, right? For obvious reasons. Who wants to stand in the dead hot sun? And David and Stephen were standing up one day and they said, man, they were talking in front of all the counselors, about 30 of them, maybe more. And they said, man, I don't know what we're going to do about go-karts. Nobody wants to work at go-karts. And Stephen looked at David and he said, are there kids at go-karts? And David said, yeah, man, there's kids at go-karts. Okay. Well, I was just thinking that maybe there weren't kids there because if people don't want to work go-karts, that must be because there's not kids there because we're here for kids. When I first moved here, people who are not here anymore worked very hard to push me down. People get jealous of your gift, right? And I had an office, had a really good phone, had a place to myself, and they took my office away, they took my phone away, and they put me in a classroom, demoted me. And I was so mad one day. I was like, God, I said, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this demotion has happened. I cannot believe, I'm just leaving. I don't know. I'm not going to stay here. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm sorry, are there go-karts? Are there kids at go-karts? Are there kids in that classroom? See, the Lord will get you where he's supposed to be. But we got to be willing to be faithful in the little. We got to be willing to just be the servant girl that speaks to the king and says, hey, there's a prophet. But see, we're so busy trying. And here we go. Here's my message. Don't lose the now for the next, right? Don't think so much about the next that you lose the now. We're so busy thinking about our promotion and where we're working to get to that we miss the one that's standing right in front of us that needs ministry right now. And see, God looks at, we think it's, oh, this just came to me. This is good. This is free. This is Holy Ghost. We think it's the faithfulness of showing up to the job every day that God's looking at. No, he's saying the faithfulness of the people he brings by you every day. If you're not faithful to the people he brings by you at the coffee station, if you're not faithful to the people he brings and the opportunities he brings by you in the nursery, if you're not faithful to the opportunities he gives you, you know, well, I'm in the sanctuary cleaning. Somebody may walk through that needs what I have. When we're faithful in that, he's going to move us on. Now, what he moves us on to might not be grandstands. Might be the men's bathroom. Jesus, help us. Nobody wants to be in the men's bathroom. See? Could be worse. You could be cleaning the men's bathroom. We had a kid one time that he peed on the wall. All on the wall. Little kindergarten. And I said, honey, why did you do that? I was writing my ABCs on the wall. Cross my heart. You can't make this stuff up, the kids say. I can tell you some kid stories. We have cameras, and they'll say something to me. I'll say, honey, you see that little black dot right there? Yes, ma'am. I see everything you do. Okay. A little fear of God's good for them. All right. Let's go to our second lesson. How many know the story of Esther? We're all females in this room. We have all quoted the phrase, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, right? Or it's been said to us. Let's talk about somebody that doesn't get talked about as much in Esther. Let's talk about Mordecai. Now, I don't know if it's Mordecai or Mordecai. I like saying Mordecai, so that's how we're going to pronounce it today. All the Bible scholars can look it up and tell me if I'm right or wrong afterwards. Mordecai was actually amongst the Jews that got exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. He's living in exile, and his cousin's parents die, so he adopts her. Let's just think about that. Let's just start there. So Haman goes to the king, and he said, there's a certain people that keep themselves separate. They have their own customs. They do things their own way. And he was specifically targeting that group of people to annihilate them. Does that sound familiar? Bible's just the same today as was that 2,000 years ago. If you're a Christian, you're targeted. I promise you, hopefully Apple won't watch this because I love my iPhone. I promise you Siri gets my stuff wrong because she knows I'm a conservative person, that I'm a Christian. I promise you she puts cuss words in there because of that. Thank you for understanding. That was a joke, Bethany Sprouse. Help everybody else. Haman says, kill him. And can you imagine this? They send a proclamation on the 13th day of the 12th month, kill everybody. I would be like, I'm out of here. I mean, I don't know why they don't just kill him. And he says this proclamation. Well, Mordecai, he tears his clothes and he goes to the gate. He can't go in because he's torn his clothes. And Esther's like, what's going on with my cousin? Somebody go find out what's going on with my cousin. Can I give you my version so it's faster? Go find out what's going on. And Mordecai says, you got to do something. Because what's going to happen is Haman has sent out this decree and everybody's going to die. But here's the interesting part of this story. And here's the lesson that God brought out to me. Esther, if you remember, Esther's response was, I can't. I can't tell you how many times people tell me no before they tell me yes. I'm going to give you a little financial tip. When they put those late charges on your card, you call them and tell them to take it off. And when they tell you no, you ask for a supervisor. They take them off for me all the time. Don't let the $30, now pay your bill on time if you can. But I've had it where it's due on the 12th, and at 4 Eastern, they're putting a late charge on. It's still the 12th in Florida. What are you doing? And so Mordecai sends a message. That's just my ADHD. I don't think that's the Holy Spirit. To Esther. And Esther says, listen, I haven't seen the king for 30 days, and if I go in there and he doesn't extend his scepter, I will die. No. But here is the best part. Here's the hero of this story. See, we make Esther the hero. But Mordecai could have, Kai at that time, or Mordecai, Mordecai. He could have at that point said, well, she said no. And that story would be over. And listen, the lineage of Jesus comes through this, comes through these Jews, through the Jewish nation. And that is when Mordecai said, don't think that because you're in the king's house that you of all the Jews will be spared. You know what Mordecai did? He reminded her who she was. Just like Marvin Barman, remember who you are. It's one of our favorite things. He reminded her who she was. He said, and if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance from the Jews will still arise. God will still save us, but you will miss your next. God, if you get a word from God and you don't give it, if you're too timid, if we're too timid to step out and do what God's called to do, that's okay. God will raise someone else up, but we'll miss our next. We'll miss our next because we're so much paying attention to what it'll cost us. We're paying so much attention to the fact that the Jews are going to be killed. She's paying so much attention to what if I die that she almost missed her next. But let me tell you the lesson for Mordecai. When God positions you in a place of influence, remember who you are and why you're there. When God positions you in a place of influence, remember who you are and why you're there. Hey, Becca, will you look on the schedule and tell me what time I'm supposed to be done? I have no clue. I know she's got a schedule handy and ready on her phone. Because servants, no servants. Assistants, no assistants. When God positions you in a place of 10:30, when God positions you in a place of influence, remember who you are and why you are there. And I'm going to say to all the Esthers in the room, you better be sure you got somebody beside you that'll push you. Because if I surround myself with all the opposite personalities of me, makes me crazy. But it's those same personalities that say, get up, what are you doing? Dream again, live again, what are you doing? That's what I need. Some of us have been put in places of influence. God has put us in front of governors. God has put us in front of famous people. If you run into a star or an actor or somebody in the airport, you better tell them about the Lord. That's your moment. I was thinking the other day about how many people live their lives like Simeon. They live their lives for one moment. I want to change the world. Just be there for the moment God has you here for. Because we come from an earthly perspective. We think about the 70 years that we're here, 80 years that we're here on this planet, and that we're so upset when people go into eternity, and God is like, if eternity was from, we can't measure it, but if it's this podium to that wall, your 70 years is about right there. And, you know, and trust me, I've lost both my parents. It's hard. It's hard to lose people. But Holy Spirit, God, give us a focus on where they are and where we're going. And how unimportant so much of the things we do here and this little piece matter. How little some of those things matter. Moses. Let's look at Moses. It's really not about Moses. Moses was killing himself. Let me tell you what Moses was doing. All my leaders, if you lead in some form or capacity, stand real quick. Just for a second, I want to see you. Pastors, anything. I want to see any leaders. She hit her in the head. Lead in worship. Oh, lead in the nursery. Lead in worship. It's okay. At least you weren't abducted and taken to another nation. Leaders, leaders, leaders. Moses, you can sit down now. I just want to see you. Moses, this blows me away. It says that people were coming to them with their personal disputes from morning until night. He listened to all the drama llamas. Just shoot me. I can't stand 1 or 2 hours. Can I tell you a funny story? It's kind of personal, but hopefully they're not watching. that's why we have to turn the live off sometimes. Yeah. I had a parent the other day that posted some stuff about us on Facebook, about the school on Facebook, which is not uncommon these days, unfortunately. And that stuff, in an hour, it was tagged to our local news, to the police department, to the DCF, to several agencies. And you're just scrambling, right? And let's just say they were upset. It was inflammatory. Can I say it that way, since this is being broadcast live? We had a little meeting together. They took it down. We came together. They took it down. But the damage that can be done in 1 hour, in 2 hours, that a lot of times is not even true. And we will kill ourselves trying to manage all that. Thank goodness I have a great team. It was good and bad because there was like 75 people texting me, check the Facebook, check the Facebook. I'm like, I can't check the Facebook for answering text messages. Which is a good and bad problem, you know? But if I had to manage that all the time, that's why people are leaving education in droves right now. There's too much pressure. We have a local Christian school here where one of the students felt like a my friend Reba back there is principal of a major school here. Super proud of her and the promotion she got. And she knows. There was a local school here that one of the teachers, he got attention brought to him because he hugged too much. I mean, you got to be careful who you hug. But Moses was killing himself, and his father-in-law steps in and he says, listen, you're killing yourself. This is not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And you know, maybe it was fun when Moses first started to be the man. You know, I'm the only one that can make the decisions. I'm the only one that can solve the disputes. I'm the only one that can help these people. Maybe it's fun to begin with, but I guarantee it wasn't fun as he went through. There's nothing fun about that. At all. At all. Oh, a fresh Kleenex. You're awesome. I don't really mind sweating. It just is so unladylike. It's getting all the poison out of my body. I understand that. Let me give you the lesson. Oh, that's interesting. My notes copied interesting. Under lessons from Mordecai, I copy-pasted, and it says lessons from Mordecai again, but it's actually lessons from Jethro. When God positions you in a place to lead leaders, have something kingdom-worthy to say at all times. What do I mean? There's a lot of people in this room that you could talk to Pastor Pam, Pastor Angela, Pastor Cammie. But I have a little bit more influence because they've allowed me in. So I have to, and I don't say that arrogantly, I'm trying to explain a situation. So I have to be very, very careful what I say and do. Because when we have, and Pastor Angie will say that, the people that are closest to her are the most that she needs, are the people she most needs to be cautious about what they say and do. How many leaders would say that, right? And well, I just want to be close, and I just want to be like, you know, it's people all the time. Because Angela will say we went on a field trip. Oh, I just wish I could do that, and I wish I could be there. What is it you said last night? Have you paid the price that I've paid? Because I don't get to be in my flesh, and if I am in my flesh, I find out about it pretty quickly. And I deserve it most of the times. Maybe not all the time. 95, 99% of the time. Right? Why? Because then I'm now influencing someone who's about to influence 200 or 300, 400 people. 200 or 300, 400,000 people. So when Jethro stepped up as a father-in-law to Moses and said, hey, you should do this. He was adding value. Pastor Tim likes to say, I want to add value. He was adding value to the situation. So when God positions us in a place to lead leaders or to lead non-leaders. We have to bring kingdom value to the situation. It's an honor for me. I text her so much it probably makes her crazy. But it's an honor to me to serve. It's an honor to me. I saw Pastor Darlene slipped in back there. I will never not be in a room that I don't honor her. Ever. And she knows that. I've hired her now to work for the school, and really she bosses me more than I boss her. But I just let her. Because I honor her. She gets junk done too. It's an honor for me to be able to talk in the ear, if you will, of a leader. And I am very aware. I'm very aware that I better be saying what God's saying. And if I don't, I'm very quick to come back and say, I don't think that was God. Don't get close to leaders to get what you want. If God gives you the ear of a leader and it's your agenda, not his, don't think he doesn't see that. Do I need to say that again? We don't get close to leaders to get what we want. And when I'm saying get what we want, feel accepted, feel important, get an agenda that we have, accomplish something that we want to accomplish, that's not the reason you get close to a leader. And you will see our leaders around here, Anna and Maria and Karina and Marilyn and Kia and all the, you'll see our calls come out really quick when if we think people are starting to get close to our leader for an ulterior motive. If you have the ear of the leader and it's your agenda, not God's agenda, you better be careful. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story of Pastor Angela. I got permission to share this. Pastor Angela was talking the other night about her and Pastor Tim being in a very intense fellowship. I'm going to tell you how that story started out. And I'm telling you this story to understand it's a sacred trust, and that's why I asked permission to share it. We were actually in the living room, and Tim was in the other room, and we were on a priceless conference Zoom call. I was sitting on the couch, and Angela was sitting in the chair because she's just recently from the surgery. And the call ended, and we were kind of frustrated about some things we needed to make happen. And so she calls Tim, as she often does. Tim, come give us some input. She's great at giving input. And I'm just sitting here, and I'm working on notes, typing on my little cool iPad 12 Pro. I'm just making notes and talking, and she's sharing. I'm listening, and a lot of times I'm just quiet unless they ask me. Sometimes I jump in. And all of a sudden, she starts crying. His voice starts raising. I'm typing. I'm like, and so then it gets a little louder, a little more intense, more tears, more aggression. And you know, you're sitting here and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, do I leave? Do I stay? Do I put earplugs in my ears? Can I melt into the couch? You know, what's the right thing? You know? And I knew that she wasn't supposed to lift her arms at all, which she did, but she had a chicken in the kitchen that needed to finish being deboned, that had, you know, chicken on it. There were dishes that needed to be done. It was like 11. Our priceless meetings go to like, I don't know, 2 in the morning it feels like. But we want every detail to be right. And so, I mean, it just was going back and forth. So finally, I just really quietly close my little iPad Pro. They're just going at it back and forth. And you have to understand, they're both D personalities, cholerics. So they'll just, bah, 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 and they're like, what do you want for dinner? And she's like, oh, no, let's go here. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, you guys were just intense. I would be in tears crying or something, you know. But they're so, and they both can butt heads and just go right on about business. I love you. You love me. Let's go. And so they're going at it. And I'm just quietly going into the kitchen. And I'm thinking, do I just keep on going? But I don't want her to have to debone the chicken. You know, I'm pretty sure Tim's not going to debone the chicken, you know. Anyway, so I debone the chicken. I do the dishes. I put my bag on my shoulder. And I'm just standing in the kitchen. Do I interrupt and do I interrupt and say goodbye? Do I just sneak out the door and hope they don't notice? I mean, you know. And it was so funny. It's funny now. It was so funny. They were like, blah, 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 blah. And they both went, okay, D, see you later. And I was like, bye. And I said, you know, I was like, oh my Jesus. I got in the car, started praying in the spirit for my pastor and his wife. And I knew they'd be fine. But see, you got to use, oh, I want to be so close to them. All right. Well, you want to sit on a couch in the middle of a fight? Try and figure out what you're going to do. Do you want to be able, do you want to keep that and protect them? I would never share that if she didn't give me permission. Do you want to hear things about other people that we're trying to work out and help them and reach them? You want to hear things that are said about them? You want to be the person that everybody tries to be your friend so they can get to them? You don't really know if you have any true friends. Should I keep going? But see, if we have the lesson of Jethro, when God positions you in a place to lead leaders, have something kingdom worthy to say. I have to have something kingdom worthy to say to everyone. Even the jealous person. Even the person that calls me out. Says, hey, you're getting a little big for your britches. That one's a little rough. Let's go to the last one. It's a donkey. It'll be fun. Father, that was father-in-law. That was Jethro. The lesson was Jethro. Now we're going to the donkey. Yeah, I'm just telling you stories from my life. It's just stuff I've walked through. And I could just close the book right now and tell you this. I just know them in whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. I've never come up on a situation that I didn't know what to do, that God didn't show up. He may not have shown up when I wanted him to, but he always showed up. Shows up in his time, his plan. Balaam, we all love the story of Balaam. What's interesting about Balaam is that Balaam was doing exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. God said, go here, do this. And he said, I'm going there and I'm doing this. And so I want to catch the attention of some people in this room that maybe you're not exactly born again, spirit-filled, love the Lord, but maybe you're not exactly where you're supposed to be right now. I was sitting across the table from someone the other day, and they looked right at me, and they said, listen, you're not believing anymore. You stopped dreaming. You know what I did? I just started crying. Why? Because they had the authority to break that off of me in the spirit. You've given up. And the Bible says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Let me tell you what it looks like when you do what Balaam did and you go your own way and do your own thing. It looks like the pastor never does anything right. It looks like I always get overlooked. It looks like nobody appreciates me. It looks like sometimes anxiety. There's other reasons for anxiety. It looks like I don't feel well. I don't feel like going to church. It's exactly what Cammie was describing last night. I don't want to go to church. That's heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when they looked at me and said, listen, you got to believe again. If you don't have somebody in your life that'll get in your business and say, hey, you got to believe again. Guess what God will send? A donkey. Balaam was doing exactly the opposite of what God told him to do. And you know what I wrote down about this? God will get you to your next even if you're in rebellion. The grace of God is unbelievable. Even if we're doing our own thing, God will get us to our next. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. You know it. Leaves the 99. Sing it with me. I couldn't earn it. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Just breathe that in for a minute. When I stopped dreaming, I stopped believing, God sent someone and said, hey, the overwhelming, reckless love of God can breathe that back to life in you. God's plan is a plan that matters, not man. We think people are in charge all the time. Someone gets the spot that you were supposed to get. They're not in charge. God's in charge. If they got that spot, God let them get that spot. It's just a no. Next opportunity. Right? So we know the story. Balaam's in rebellion. And the donkey just runs off the side of the road. And Balaam's like, what are you doing? Puts him back on the road. The donkey lays flat on the ground. What are you doing? Finally, starts to beat the donkey. We all know the story, right? We heard it probably in Sunday school. And then God opened his eyes. And Balaam began to see what the donkey was seeing, that there was an angel standing there. And here's the lesson. When your next is a donkey rescuing you from an angel on the road with a drawn sword, don't beat the donkey God positioned to save you. When your next is a donkey rescuing you from an angel in the road with a drawn sword, don't beat the donkey God positioned to save you. Our pastors get up. Boy, they just cut it down. Pastor Angela came off the stage on Friday. She said, was that too hard? I said, it's never too hard for me. If it's the truth. And see, we speak the truth. And who do we attack? We attack the pastor. We beat them like they're a donkey. We beat them. Well, I don't trust what they say because they drive a Mercedes. 20-year-old Mercedes is paid off. I don't trust what they say because they have too nice of suits, and so I'm not sure what they're doing with the offering money. And yet, if it was a donkey doing it, right? If a donkey was talking to us, it'd get our attention. But because, you know, we don't care that the donkey poops and smells and is an animal. Right? Don't beat the donkey that God positioned to save you. So where do you find yourself? Are you the servant girl? We're going to wrap with this, but I'm going to pray for you. Are you the servant girl that is just faithfully serving? And maybe you're frustrated, maybe you're tired of serving, but God's saying, hey, I'm about to bring a king by you, and I'm going to need you to give them a word. Because you understand the people that clean the White House have access to the president that nobody in this room has access to. The person that cooks for Oprah has access to her that nobody else has access to. Maybe there's people watching online. The Holy Spirit prompted me. There's people watching online that you have access to influential people. What are you doing with that access? We're here to know him and make him known. Period. Are you in the place of the servant girl? You're tired of serving? We've lost focus. Maybe you're still faithfully serving. You haven't lost focus, and you're just saying, I got to refuel and understand the why of what I'm doing. Why am I doing this? Because there's a kid coming through. And that, you know, there was, I think it was four kids. I'll have to check my facts. There was four kids in the room when someone led Billy Graham to the Lord. You ever hear about the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord? That's a person I want to meet. Right? That's a person I want to meet. And then you have the Mordecais of the world that push. They say, no. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And then you have the Jethros of the world that have places of influence already. And they got to be sure that we're using that. And maybe some of us today are saying, hey, you know, I've been in that place of influence and I haven't always used it for the best. But I want to repent of that. Keep short accounts with God. Or maybe we're the last person. And then we're going to pray. And I think there's some of us here in this world, in this room, that have said, I've done it my own way. I've done my own thing. And maybe it's not all the time. Maybe it's recently. Maybe it's not. You know, maybe you didn't even know it. I didn't know I was in that place. I didn't know that I was... Kevin Lil looked at me during a leaders meeting one time and said, Jaden, you've lost your sweetness. And then he kept right on preaching. I was like, thanks. All the leaders here know what I'm talking about. They were all here. What does that mean? So if you find yourself in any of those positions, or you find yourself today and you say, hey, I want to reposition myself. I want to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be there, so I'm talking to the right people. Would you stand? I'm going to pray for you. Just stand. I know there's people here that have that. We don't have any, I don't need it. We don't have any spooky play, move your emotions music, and I don't need it. Actually, Kia, could you, someone could play Jaira? We'll come out on that. If you're good, you want to pray for somebody around you, great. If not, I'm going to pray. Right here, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands to the Lord. Why do we do that? It's a sign of surrender. Not my way, but your way. Right now, Holy Spirit, we call on Jaira. Jaira means provider. God, you are able to provide for us what we never knew we needed. You're able to be for us what we never knew we needed, God. God, even you said even the lilies don't clothe themselves, that you could take care of us. And so right now, God, I pray for the servants in the room. Those that have been faithful, those that every day, every week, on and on, God, they minister. I pray, God, for those in the room who are in the position of a Mordecai, they're the ones that are pushing people into their destiny. God, I even believe that some in this room today are remembering who they are. We're children. We're daughters of the Most High King, God. We're called by you. And nobody can do what you can do. Get that inside today. Nobody can do what you can do. Nobody can do you. As much as I look and am amazed by the different speakers and the anointing and the call on their life, nobody can do what I can do. Nobody. And nobody can do what you can do. Nobody. There's not one other person besides Mordecai that would have the courage to say, get back in there and go into the king. If you die, you die. Could you say that to someone? If you die, you die. You just better go. Let's all stand while we're praying. Turn that up. Come on, God is enough today. If you're a Jethro and you're in a position of leading leaders, make a fresh commitment today to the Lord. Say, God, I make a fresh commitment to you today that I will watch my words. God, that I will lead people only to you. Only to your plan, not my plan. Only to your purpose, not my purpose, God. And if you're in that last category, where you've turned or your heart has gotten sick, right now, Holy Spirit, man, I feel the Holy Spirit on that. If your heart's sick, God has come for that multiple times this weekend. If your heart's sick, come on right now. The song says he would cross an ocean not to see you drown. Don't want to forget how I feel right now. Come on, let's just worship Jireh. God, I just thank you. God, I thank you for every woman that's here, God. That your kingdom would come. That your will would be done in them, God. There's not one insignificant person in this room, God. Every person has a destiny. Every perfect person has a purpose. Every person has a purpose, God. Right now, Father. We can't compare ourselves because nobody can do what we're doing.
I know who I am.
Come on, know who you are.
I know what you spoke.
I didn't even know that was in that song until I heard that.
Loved more than I could imagine. And that is enough.
You are enough. Somebody needs to say to yourself today, I am enough. And God is enough. Ah, Holy Spirit, we ask that this would be a marked moment right now. Let this be a marked moment right now. God, help us to know who we are. Not who we're married to, not what job we have, not what church we go to, who we are. Because that's enough to be me. That's enough. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit. God is enough for us. God is enough for us. You know what I do sometimes? I just put a song on in my office and I just let it play 50 times until it gets in my spirit. Until I know that He is enough for me. You can bring that down. We're about to go to a break, but I want to tell you this. I remember being upset by someone, and I know some people are still praying. I remember being really upset by someone and being frustrated that they didn't accept me and that they weren't there for me. And why are they treating me like that? And why is this happening this way? And this is what God spoke to me. He said, am I not enough for you? I want you to hear the Lord saying that to you today. Am I not enough for you? Because if you can't say you are enough, then we got some work to do. Amen? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I just pray that this gets in your spirit. It burns in your heart. Go reread these stories. Ask the Holy Spirit to break it down for you. I see the executioner has come to the front.